Welcome to Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Tom Guzzola from TSN 1260 with you as we break down an Oilers hockey game. Yeah, they played last night against the Calgary Flames. We'll get to that. They win it 4-1 in their lone exhibition tilt before going into the qualifying round series with the Chicago Blackhawks on Saturday. The best of five series gets going at 1 p.m. Mountain Time. And to discuss the series, we will bring in one more time Jack Bushman from Locked On Blackhawks. Actually, he's going to be back on the program as well on Thursday because we are running a crossover series as we head into the postseason and the qualifying rounds indeed. So we'll hear from Jack shortly here on Locked On Oilers. But first, let's break down what we saw in the Oilers Flames tilt last night. Now, listen. We saw Mikko Koskinen start, and that was a bit of a curious decision, interesting decision. I really thought Mike Smith would be getting the start. And hey, Dave Tippett could roll out Mike Smith on Saturday afternoon. Here's the interesting part about Koskinen starting yesterday is I was doing the pregame show. We had Jason Gregor on while he was at the rink watching warm-up, and he's giving this like live play-by-play of, well, okay, Mike Smith is in the net now. Mikko Koskinen is kind of hovering around the Oilers bench. Now, both goalies are hovering on the bench. I don't know which one's going to go off first. And there was like this 2-3 minute thing that we're watching, and then he goes, okay, Mikko Koskinen went off. He is getting the start. Mikko Koskinen did lead the team onto the ice for warm-up. Usually that indicates the starter for the night. And Koskinen was good. He stopped all 17 shots he faced. But here's the thing. He played half the game. Mike Smith played half the game. Smith stopped 19 of 20 shots, fired his way. And the one goal, the shot that beat him, you know, you could make the argument that Matthew Tkachuk on the Elias Lindholm goal actually interfered with him. There was no review from Dave Tippett, no challenge. And the Oilers end up with that 4-1 win. Both goalies, I thought, were razor sharp. Now, did Dave Tippett tip his hand as to who gets the nod in goal for game one? Mike Smith started all three games against the Blackhawks. They lost the season series to Chicago, 2-1. We'll see. Mike Smith even said so himself. He plays his best in the postseason. He was the lone bright spot, really, for the Calgary Flames in the playoffs against Colorado last year. And right away, in my mind, I'm like, has Dave Tippett begun the mind games with Jeremy Colleton with the goalie thing and kind of toying with everybody by doing this? And perhaps that is the case. Or maybe, you know what, he's keeping his cards close to his chest and doesn't want to indicate any way that he's going to go and change the look that the Oilers will throw at the Blackhawks. And he wants to keep them on their toes and keep them guessing. That could very well be it. But again, the reassuring thing is you've got two guys who are capable of starting for you, two guys who it seems the team in front of them is confident in playing for and with and in front of. And the end result last night, really, I mean, the Oilers came out guns a-blazing. A couple of goals in the first 7.5 minutes, 7:44 to be exact. Kyler Yamamoto opened up the scoring at 1:04 from Klefbom and Ennis. McDavid would score from Draisaitl and Klefbom on the power play at 7:44. Elias Lindholm would cut the lead in half in the second period on the power play on that goal that, you know, probably disputable. And then a couple of quick strikes in the third period. Patrick Russell, good to see him get off the schneid and score a goal, albeit in an exhibition game from Nugent Hopkins and Benning. And then 33 seconds later, Connor McDavid, his second of the night. And if you haven't seen, there's some great footage that the Oilers tweeted out of McDavid on that goal, how he's looking the other way and then fires it through the pads of David Riddick. Have a look. Great stuff there. Patrick Russell picks up an assist on that play as well. It seemed like the Oilers, you know, were strong in the beginning of the game, kind of tapered off in the second. Perhaps the Flames kind of woke up and started to put the pedal to the metal a little bit. But I feel like it was a combination of the Flames waking up themselves and deciding to play better overall instead of just feeling their way into the game, which it seemed like they did in the first period. And then the Oilers easing in a little bit. And the result was Calgary heavily outshooting Edmonton in the second period. And even in the third period, the Calgary Flames had a lot of good looks and Mike Smith had to hold the fort. And then the two quick strikes from the Oilers really put the nails in the coffin of the game. And to me, it seemed like when the Oilers wanted to play and turn it on, that's when they controlled the game. And then in the middle part of the game, I know McDavid and Draisaitl each played a lot of minutes. Draisaitl 18:30, McDavid 19 minutes, and Nugent Hopkins 17:43. So those guys, you know, they weren't playing their 20 plus, and the minutes were distributed a little bit more considering there were 13 forwards in the lineup. It seemed like in the middle parts of the game, they weren't on as much, or they were quite quiet. And then in the third period, you know, when they decided to reemerge and show themselves, they certainly did. So also on defense, things were pretty even as well. We actually saw Philip Broberg play instead of Caleb Jones. The news was Jones is a little bit nicked up, so that opened the door for Broberg to get some game action. I liked it. Good move there, because William Lagesson and Evan Bouchard have played NHL games before. So Broberg gets his first taste of NHL action. Again, exhibition, but he played 11-19. Had a couple of scary moments. The giveaway in front where Mikko Koskinen was scrambling, and the puck winds up in Broberg's skates in the crease, and he fires it to the Flames defenseman, and then the Flames defenseman fires it on net. Broberg goes and makes a street hockey save. But you know what? That's game one for him, and a big taste of the National Hockey League. He deserved it. He had a really good camp, and here he is with the Oilers in the bubble for the NHL's return to play. Not sure we'll see him again unless, you know, injuries or circumstances dictate that the Oilers need to go way down their depth chart when it comes to defensemen at some point during the qualifying round or perhaps playoffs if they are to move on. One other thing that was interesting that emerged on Wednesday was the news that Jesse Puljujärvi is saying never say never and keeping the door open. There is a line of communication with the Oilers and Jesse Puljujärvi. He had a Zoom call, apparently, with Ken Holland and Dave Tippett. It's good to see that, you know, they're mending the fences and they have this line of communication, and it's good. And there's a willingness on both sides to talk and discuss and maybe look at seeing if there's a way to move forward with one another. Now, who knows if he winds up back with the Oilers. He says the priority is to go back to Karpat. Obviously, the European League start up earlier. We heard Ladislav Schmid on the podcast last week saying he's going back to Czech this week, actually, and they're starting a tournament right away. So expect to see the SM Liga in Finland get going soon as well. He's not going to Switzerland, not going to the KHL, and he is leaving the door open to potentially returning to the Oilers organization. In what capacity? We don't know. Would they just outright give him a spot on the roster? I don't know. Does he deserve one? Not necessarily. Maybe that opens the door to the Oilers moving what could be an asset to another team in the Jesse Puljujärvi. We shall see. But a positive sign nonetheless, and a good problem to have, that this prospect is, you know, willing to potentially come back to North America and the Oilers organization. So that's the latest bit of news. Coming up, we're going to hear from Jack Bushman from Locked On Blackhawks as we continue to preview the Oilers and Blackhawks qualifying round series. Chicago in action on Wednesday against the St. Louis Blues at Rogers Place. Should be interesting to see how things unfold for the Blackhawks, a depleted lineup going up against the defending Stanley Cup champions. The Locked On crossover series as we get set for the NHL's return to play continues. Tom Gazzola from Locked On Oilers alongside Jack Bushman from Locked On Blackhawks as we get set for the Oilers and Blackhawks qualifying round series, which begins Saturday afternoon. But before we get to that, there are exhibition games. We saw the Oilers defeat the Calgary Flames on Tuesday night by a score of 4-1 at Rogers Place. Interestingly enough, the Oilers got dressed in the Oil Kings locker room, which is better than a good chunk. It's a great locker room, and it's better than a lot of home locker rooms in the NHL. Yeah, it's, you know what, they did a fantastic job with that building, but it's the new normal, really. And the other thing that was interesting about watching that game last night was seeing how the National Hockey League set up its arenas, and both are identical in the setup. Mm-hmm. And I kind of gave it like a concert type.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah. What do you think of the way the league has set up the two rinks that it'll be using, and how do you think it'll play out aesthetically on TV and in rink for the teams?
I think everything so far looks really good. Like you said, it's kind of got that like concert venue. Everything's kind of like wide, and they have these big like, I'm not sure if it's on a jumbo screen or they're like posters, but they got like pictures of the teams and stuff everywhere. I think it's going to turn out just fine as long as they're able to keep the ice conditions. That's my only real concern is, are they going to be able to keep the ice very good with so many teams playing on it every day? What do you think about that?
Well, that's going to be the test. And they sent Dan Craig, the NHL's ice guru, here to Edmonton, and I'm sure part of his crew is down in Toronto. And listen, on top of that, Jack, is the fact that it's so warm here. It was high 80s mm-hmm. yesterday. It might have even crept into the 90s Fahrenheit. Here in Canada, you know, we go by Celsius, so it got into the 30s Celsius, and that's hot.
Yeah.
Especially for Edmonton, and it's been a bit humid, too, around here. We have had some thunderstorms, and that's added to it. We had some last night, actually, after the game while I was doing my post-game show, which is great. You know, want to keep it a little bit cooler and fresher, but yeah, the rink crews are definitely going to be kept busy, and I think they're going to be up to the task. But it's kind of neat how they did it. And here's the other thing too, Jack, is like they're dialing it back. I know they have a bunch of plans with like different camera angles and stuff like that. And they said, we're not going to give you the full show until Saturday. But, mm-hmm. you know, we saw some snippets of what's right. to come.
There's some like cool different angles with.
Yeah. And they use that one high angle. It's kind of like a jib cam that kind of floats uh-huh. over the rink. I don't personally like it. I thought I would, but I don't like it. Did you notice anything that stood out to you that you said, I'm not so sure about that, or was there anything you really liked?
The only thing that really got me is what we've seen in baseball so far, the fake fan noise, man. I'm not a big fan of the fake crowd noise, the fake cheers. I don't know. It just sounds a little corny to me. I get that they're probably trying to make some noise and make it a live event and probably trying to cover up some of what the players say. But I don't know. I just don't really like the fan noise, but everything else to me seems pretty good. I know they're, like you said, they're going to, the rink attendants are going to have their hands busy, not only with taking care of the ice, but I know they have to clean out the benches, clean out in front of the benches, clean out the locker rooms after every game. So everyone's going to be really kept busy here. And I think it's going to test the rink attendants, but I'm sure they're going to be able to get the job done in a timely manner.
Jack, they are going to be very busy, certainly today, as there's a whole slew of games, and one of those is the Blackhawks taking on the St. Louis Blues. That's a 4:30 Mountain Time start, 5:30 for those of you listening in Central Time back in Chicago. By the way, I'm gonna pander to your city because it is my favorite road city, having traveled the league for 8 years and
oh, wow.
being with the Oilers and all that. It was my first road trip. We went Calgary, Columbus, Chicago. Calgary was blah, whatever. It's just like Edmonton.
How do you like the Saddle Dome? Sorry to interrupt.
Oh,
I've heard interesting things about the Saddle Dome.
It's the worst rink in the National Hockey League. It is.
Yeah,
it is
heard
awful.
A good thing about it.
It's worse than what Rexall Place was here in Edmonton. And Rexall Place was older. And you know what? They kept it in better shape than the Saddle Dome. The Saddle Dome, Jack, and for your listeners on the Locked On Blackhawks podcast, I'll tell you this. When there's a big snowstorm in Calgary, they have to send up engineers onto the roof to check for cracks and
oh,
weak
man.
Points. That's how bad that Saddle Dome aesthetic is.
That's scary.
They can't even bring in big concerts because the roof can't handle a lot of the weight from, you know, the setup from these concerts. So those concerts come up to Edmonton, no big deal. And that's just how we roll up here.
And that's a win for you guys.
Hey, exactly.
I'm missing summertime Chicago right now, man. This is Chicago at its best, and everything's closed down for the summer. It hurt my heart.
You know what? The draft a couple of years ago, I don't think I've had that much fun at an NHL event. And usually you have a ton of fun at NHL events. Anyway, I digress. I just wanted to pander to your audience because it is my favorite road city. But we certainly welcome the Chicago Blackhawks and their staff here at Edmonton during our summer. But let's get to that game because this is going to be a Central Division showdown. It seems like the league went with the biggest rivalries for their exhibition game,
right?
Which is fantastic. We saw some animosity between the Oilers and Flames last night.
That was interesting.
It was great. And you knew that there would be some of that.
Oh, you knew Cassian was going to do something. He wasn't
course.
Just going to sit there.
Kachuk on the goal that Calgary scored definitely interfered with Mike
right.
Smith. You know, and they didn't decide to challenge. So maybe we'll get a playoff series between those two teams.
That would be something.
Oh, it'd be fantastic. But tonight, Jack, what are you looking for from the Hawks in regard to their game with the Blues, because I know it's a tough test and I know it's the defending Stanley Cup champs that they're going to be facing, but what specifically do Hawks fans need to key in on tonight?
Yeah, tough test right away. Like you said, defending Stanley Cup champion and division rival St. Louis Blues. I don't think we're going to really care about the score too much tonight. I think it's more so we're looking to see how Corey Crawford is going to handle some game-level shots. He's probably going to start the game, I would expect, probably just a period or two while we give a couple other guys a look. But we're really going to be interested to see how Crawford handles his first game action since the NHL paused back on March 11th. And also, I'm very interested to see what looks we get on the Blackhawks power play that really struggled in the regular season. As we talked about on yesterday's episode, they finished 28th in the NHL, which is not what they need to be at if they hope to beat the Edmonton Oilers in the qualifying round. And then the last thing I think we're really going to look at is just how the defense handles a strong offensive team like the Blues. I think everyone knows that the weak point of this Blackhawks team is their defensive core. A lot of inexperience back there on the third pairing with Slater Cuckoo. And we also have Adam Boqvist in the mix. He's only 19 years old. Calvin DeHaan had another shoulder surgery this offseason. Connor Murphy's had a lingering groin injury. So I think it's just more so we're going to see how those guys handle a good offensive team like the Blues and if they're able to give Corey Crawford some help, because if the Oilers are putting up 35, 40 shots on Corey Crawford, this series isn't going to go well for the Blackhawks.
More with Jack Bushman coming up. But first, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand in his warehouse which he happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Tom Gazzola from Locked On Oilers, Jack Bushman from Locked On Blackhawks coming at you, and in another crossover episode of Locked On Podcast Network's NHL coverage. And you're talking about the weaknesses going into the series of this Blackhawks squad, Jack. And, you know, let's talk about some of their strengths, because there are some players up front for the Blackhawks. And I know it is, you know, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Duncan Keith obviously can chip in and contribute offensively. Brandon Saad's still there. But what is being expected of the Kirby Docks of the world, of the Drake Cajulas, of the Dylan Stroms, of the Alex Nylanders? Is it realistic to expect them to rise to the occasion? And is that the feeling among fans in Chicago?
It's definitely going to be interesting, because we've talked about how it's an interesting roster makeup for the Blackhawks. A lot of old guys, and then at the same time, they are expecting a lot out of their young guys like Kirby Dach, Adam Boqvist, Alex Nylander. Nylander's starting off with another chance in a top six role on the Blackhawks' second line, along with Dylan Strome, who also struggled this year. So I think if the Blackhawks get the same play they got from their young guys in the regular season, the series isn't going to go well. But we have had a bunch of time off. We've heard good things about Kirby Dach in the break. He's gained a bunch of weight, got a lot stronger, and has been stronger on the puck. Adam Boqvist has been apparently getting a lot faster and looking more comfortable in a top four defensive role with the Blackhawks, as we expect him to be in against the Oilers. And then also Alex Nylander, a lot of people have been saying good things about him, but we've also heard that in the past. So it's really, he's got to walk the walk instead of just doing it in practice. So I think Blackhawks fans are kind of nervous that we have to rely on a young roster so much. But at the same time, there is hope that these guys can be the next group of core players that make a difference for this team. And we have some solid depth players. Like you said, Drake Cajula, he's a guy with some postseason experience in Edmonton. can kind of slot anywhere up and down the lineup. We've seen him on the first line. We've seen him on the fourth line. So he's a type of guy that can really come up big for the Blackhawks in this postseason if he can do a bunch of everything. But it's definitely going to be interesting to see, Tom, how well these young players rise to the occasion, because that's what the Blackhawks are going to need in order to have success in this postseason.
Jack, another one of those young guys I want to keep a keen eye on is Dominik Kubalík, because he had a tremendous season. He puts up 30 goals in 68 games, 46 points overall. That's a heck of a rookie season. I know he's a bit of an older rookie at 24, but his first taste of National Hockey League playoff action is coming up. How do you think he'll go about handling it, and what kind of revelation has he been for this Blackhawks squad this season?
Oh, he was fantastic. With the struggles from Alex DeBrincat and Dylan Strome this year, Dominik Kubalík was really the guy to step up and lead the secondary scoring in the Blackhawks forward department this year. 30 goals to lead all rookies. He was really good in the second half of the season on the top line with Jonathan Toews and Brandon Saad. Those two had some tremendous chemistry down the stretch, and that landed Kubalík the rookie goal scoring title and also a nomination for the 2020 Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year. And Tom, the interesting thing right now is that head coach Jeremy Colleton has Dominik Kubalík currently skating on the Blackhawks third line with Kirby Dach and Drake Kajula. And I kind of understand that he's doing that to kind of spread out the scoring in his forward groups. But at the same time, when you have a guy who scored 30 goals in his first NHL season at 24 years old, and only four of them came on the power play, and he actually averaged like 14 minutes per game this season. There are only four players in the NHL who actually had a higher goals per 60 minutes average than Dominik Kubalík this year, Tom. And those four guys were Alex Ovechkin, Austin Matthews, David Pastrnak, and Mika Zibanejad. Kubalík was fifth on that list.
That's pretty good company, to say the least. Jack, how about Alex DeBrincat? What happened to him this season? This is a guy who had 40 last year, 41 to be exact. And he comes back, and I guess the book's out on him because people know he's a scorer. And he had his coming out party in 2018-2019, but he buries 18 in 70 games this year, and good for just 45 points. That's 31 points and less than he had last year. And I know they played 12 less games because of the pause and all of that, but what have you noticed in terms of the DeBrincat from 18-19 that's different from the DeBrincat of 19-20?
Honestly, he's even said this himself. I think the biggest difference is he's just honestly not getting the puck luck that he got last year. It seemed like he was just getting some lucky bounces, and just the pucks that were found in the back of the net last year, they weren't this year. You look at his shots on goal total, and they were like, he played in 12 fewer games this year, obviously because of the shortened season, and he had right around the same amount of shots on goal. He had 13 less shots on goal in 12 fewer games. So he's putting the same amount of shots he is on net. He just shot 10% worse than he did last year. Last season, 18.6 shooting percentage. This season, 8.7. And a lot of that, too, is the Blackhawks really struggled on the power play for the entirety of the season. In 2018-19, DeBrincat, Erik Gustafsson, and Patrick Kane went on a two-month rampage where the Blackhawks were one of the top five power plays in the entire NHL. And DeBrincat seemed to be scoring one or two power play goals every other game or something like that. And this season, he just didn't have the same success, and neither did the Blackhawks on the team as on the man advantage as a team, I should say. So I think Alex DeBrincat is still going to get the same looks that he did in the past. He's going to be playing on the top line with Jonathan Toews and Brandon Saad, at least to start the series versus Edmonton. And that's mostly where he's going to be in a top six role. The Blackhawks, even though they didn't get the results they wanted out of him this year, he was playing the right brand of hockey, and we know what he can do if he just gets the ball rolling a little bit. So I'm not too worried about Alex DeBrincat, but if he doesn't start pouring in goals in the postseason, it is going to start a little bit of concern in Chicago.
It is the Blackhawks and the Blues, 4:30 p.m. Mountain Time, 5:30 p.m. Central Time. Jack Bushman, thank you so much from Locked On Blackhawks. You can follow Jack at Jack Bushman 2. I'm at Tom Gazzola. And Jack, hey, let's do this again. How about tomorrow, pal?
Absolutely. I'm 100% down for it, Tom. Looking forward to it. We'll have some Blackhawks news from a game to finally talk about.
A big thank you to Jack Bushman from Locked On Blackhawks. Great to hear his input. And we will touch base with him again for Thursday's episode of Locked On Oilers as we continue our crossover series here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am going to the Jets Canucks game. I'll get my first look at the arena with its new setup. I thought it looked really neat yesterday on TV. I'll get my first in-person taste of what the NHL has in store for the return to play and check out what should be a pretty spirited game between the Jets and the Canucks tonight. Also, this day in hockey history, July 29th, 1925, Hall of Famer Ted Lindsay, born in Renfrew, Ontario. Lindsay, of course, played in the NHL from 1944-45 through 64-65 with Detroit and Chicago, and has an award named after him, MVP of the league, as voted on by the players. And Leon Draisaitl is one of your finalists for that award this year, going up against Nathan MacKinnon and Artemi Panarin. All right, that does it for Locked On Oilers today. Thanks for tuning in. We will talk to you tomorrow when Jack Bushman returns. And of course, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NHL every Friday. Myself and Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres have got you covered.